Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
Abundant Life Ministries has moved to a new location in Palm City, Florida. We're currently meeting at the Palm City Civic Organization. It's located at 770 Southwest 34th Street, Palm City, Florida. Join us each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. for weekly services. Join us now as we go to a service in progress.
All right, I'm going to start with verse 34. This is John chapter 8. I'm going to begin reading with verse 34. Jesus replied, I assure you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is part of the family forever. So if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. This is God's promise, that if you're a son and the Father sets you free, then you are free indeed. Yes, I realize that you're descendants of Abraham. His listeners, the Jewish audience, especially the leaders, were impressed that they were children of Abraham. And Jesus said, yes, I realize that you're descendants of Abraham. And yet some of you are trying to kill me. That's kind of serious, isn't it? He said, some of you are trying to kill me because my message does not find a place in your hearts. They didn't like what he had to say. So they had a plan. We don't like what you have to say. We don't like what you're doing. It confronts our comfort zone and our religious customs. And so they wanted to kill him. I was thinking this week that throughout history there have been kings and those put into power that when they came into power, they killed all of their enemies. They killed all the survivors from the other families. And that was their way of securing their throne. Understand that part of what was happening here is that the religious leaders recognized that Jesus had an authority that they didn't have, and they want to kill him. They not only want to shut him up, but they want to kill him. And so I'm telling you what I saw when I was with my father, but you're following the advice of your father. Now it's going to get real sticky. Our father is Abraham. And Jesus said, no. For if you were children of Abraham, you would follow his good example. I told you the truth. I heard from God, but you're trying to kill me. Abraham wouldn't do a thing like that. Then we come to verse 41, and I want you to take special note of verse 41. No, you're obeying your real father when you act like this. You act this way. They replied, we were not born out of wedlock. Our true father is God himself. And Jesus told them, if God were your father, you would love me because I've come to you from God. I'm not here on my own, but he sent me. Why can't you understand what I'm saying? It is because you're unable to do so. For you are children of your father, the devil. Jesus said it just like it was, didn't he? Some people don't like it to be told just like it is. Some people don't even want to know the truth. They just want to do whatever they want to do. And it's always been that way. It was that way on this occasion when Jesus was talking to the religious leaders and others that were in the crowd. He said, for you are children of your father, the devil, and you love to do evil things, you love to do the evil things that he does. He was a murderer from the beginning and has always hated the truth. There's no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. I want to address this particular truth in regards to the liar and the lies that are taking place in our nation. Understand, there's only two spiritual alliances or fathers. Jesus called those who were unrighteous and in rebellion against him, he called them children of the devil. Don't be surprised that we live in a day where there's going to be more and more distinction between those who are children of God and those who are children of the devil. Don't like to think about that, do we? That when we leave here this morning, that we're going to see people that are children of God and people that are children of the devil. Have you ever had that thought? I wonder how somebody could do that. How could they act like that? Mothers abandoning their children, maybe even killing their children. Fathers abandoning their family, their wife, abusing sexually, physically, verbally, relationally, abusive. We look in our nation, we look at the news at night, we go to the White House, or we go to many politicians' houses. And to lie if they don't get caught, it's simply the way we do things here. Isn't it a shame that in America, that's the way we do things now? No, we don't. But the children of the devil do. We have a situation in our nation where if you're standing up for God and you're a righteous person, the war is intensified. It's real. It's going to be verbal. It's going to be perhaps physical. It will be maybe from those in leadership positions, maybe even within some of our families. But Jesus dealt with this and he addressed it. And he says, there's no truth in the devil because when he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, it says something like this, for we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood. So our battle is not with humanity. We are spiritual beings, so we are actually in conflict with demonic powers and strongholds. And so when you sense that you are under attack physically, mentally, emotionally, relationally, as a child of God, you are under attack. And if we try to win the battle in the natural, that is with argumentation or with physical violence in response, we will never win because this is not a physical battle. It's a spiritual battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, rulers, principalities, powers, and rulers, rulers, rulers. These are people in high positions. There are spiritual demonic forces that are overseeing regions, and under them there are individuals that are actually filled with demonic spirits that are operating right now in our nation and globally around the world. And that's what we're up against. We're up against these principalities, powers, and rulers that are in high places. And so there's a real battle. It's very serious. When the towers were hit, that morning as I watched that, I couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe that was happening. As I saw the first plane, and then the second plane, and then there was the other plane, and they were not able to do as much destruction as they planned, but I watched that morning, and I saw that, I listened, I read, and I followed up and read some more about it, and something was happening at that time. The protection of God over our nation had been pulled back. Many in our nation had decided, we don't want God in our schools. We don't want the Ten Commandments in our courthouse. We don't want Bible reading in our school. We don't want for there to be any reference to God in our nation. We want to remove that out of our society. And so you know what we have, and I know what we have, where our schools have become places where there have to be guards and where there are many shootings and there's tragic things that happen that never happened. I've heard from some of our family that remember the days when, as young men, maybe in a junior or senior in high school, maybe had a pickup truck and maybe drove to the high school and had a rifle or two hanging in the window behind the seat. And no one was getting shot in the schools. It was not against the law. No one was afraid or concerned about that situation. Students went in and the day was opened with the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, and a scripture was read and prayer was given and sometimes a little Bible study was given. This was the foundation. My mother told me when she was in school that every day they read the Word of God and they prayed every day. It was a different day. It was a different nation. And eventually, when you say no to God, when our national leaders say no to God, it begins to open the door to the enemy to come in. Jonathan Cahn's book, The Return of the Gods, chronicles very well some of that that's happened. Then we just had COVID, in 20? And I believe that the plan of the enemy was to take out a lot more lives than were taken out. And I don't know all the details about the lab and how it was passed and how everything else happened with that. I just know that we were not told the truth by a lot of our leaders in our nation. And a week or so ago, I started talking about this, and I didn't realize where we would be this week. But we have been lied to on many levels. And so when a medical doctor asked me, why would you go to Jacksonville to have this done or that done? It's because I know Mary Ellen, and she is in Jacksonville in that medical facility. And I went there because I don't know what's going to happen if I'm put out. I want to know that someone righteous is there because I don't trust the world system. It's an antichrist system. We are already there. It's not something that's going to come. When I was a boy, I was told the day is coming when the antichrist will be raised up. Well, now we have an antichrist spirit that is in our nation, in our courtrooms, that's in our schools, that is permeating our society and around the world. This is where we are today. So this lying evil spirit is such that unless someone's righteous, you don't know if they're telling you the truth or a lie, because most people, they don't care. If it serves them to their personal desires and ambitions, then they don't mind lying to you. You go to a car dealer and you're talking to an unrighteous salesman, they don't mind lying to you. Yeah, this was grandma's car. She drove it once a week. She drove it to church into the grocery store. Yeah. They don't mind doing that. Why? There was a day when you could trust people. But the spirit of the Antichrist is a lying spirit. It's a lying spirit. Remember in Tel Aviv, sitting with some of the leaders in Tel Aviv, Israel, and they were talking about the lying spirit that came to Israel. You remember they were traveling. They were not to negotiate. They were not to come into agreements with any of the surrounding nations. And then if you remember, there was this caravan that came in. They had rotting, old, dried out wineskins and moldy bread. And they said, "We have come from a far off country. And we have come because we recognize and acknowledge that your God is a powerful God, and we want to be in alliance with you." And so they quizzed them, "Where did you come from?" And they investigated. They looked at the bread. They looked at the wineskins. And truly the bread was moldy and the wineskins were old. But they did not seek God. They did not seek God. And they went into covenant with a lie. And you know what? God held them to that covenant. God held them to that covenant. They ended up protecting their enemies because they did not seek God. This is why it's so important for us today to understand that in the midst of our nation and what's going on, that we need to know that the lies are real and they're in the news. They're everywhere. There are many, many, many lying spirits that are going out. And so how do we know the difference? We seek God and say, "Father, what is the truth? What is the way we're to go?" There's so many things that you could share and I could share that document what's taken place just in the last couple years. But let me tell you what took place in that courtroom. Whichever side of politics you're on, it's not going to matter when you stand before God, but the truth is going to matter. And as my wife will say sometimes, people say, "Well, I'll have nothing to do with God. I have nothing to do with the church because this person did, or that person did, or this preacher did, or somebody else did." But my wife is right. When you stand before God, God is not going to ask you, "What did that person do or that person do?" God is going to say, "What did you do? Did you accept my gift of my son, or did you reject the gift of eternal life?" And so it's important that we understand the days that we live in. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood. Let's go to Psalm chapter 11. Psalm chapter 11. In Psalm chapter 11, verse 3, it says this: "The foundations of law and order have collapsed." It didn't just start this past week. This has been a strategy of evil right along. The strategy is to raise up rulers in high places that are able to manipulate and give guidance that is wicked and untruthful. The psalmist says the foundations of law and order have collapsed. What can the righteous do? The question's raised. What can the righteous do when the foundations of law and order have collapsed? It's been a lot of years ago. I was with a pastor, and we were sitting with a state's attorney in a community real close to us, not in this county, but close. And this pastor's son was being charged with something that was not the truth. And this hit me so hard when I heard the state's attorney in private make this comment. He said, "The truth doesn't matter here, because everyone is going to lie and tell the same story. And so it doesn't matter what the truth is, you don't have enough money to prove the truth. Because the lie is established through the whole organization. The best thing you can do is tell your son to stay out of this county. Because we'll be looking for him. I realized that day as I was sitting with this pastor that our nation has been turning away from truth and turning to the lie. And this has come to the point where what would you do if you were falsely accused? And you were arrested. And you go into court. Would you have enough money to fight the system? Or would you be in a place where you could even do that? Or would you do what I would have to do and say, God, either you deliver me or else I'm going to go through the fire? If you remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were asked, are you going to do what the king is asking you to do? If you're not, you're going to get thrown into that fire. They didn't have any attorneys. They didn't have anybody to stand up for them. They didn't have any natural answer for what was going on. And we're going to see more and more and more of this in our nation. And I hate to tell you this, but this is the end times and this is the way it's going to be. And if you say, well, that's not fair, understand that what's not fair is going to be what is practiced often on a normal basis. And so you might say, well, I have rights. Well, you may have had rights. But that doesn't mean that you still have rights today because the judge might be as crooked as one could be. And there may be jurors that are just as crooked as the judge is. And it's not like it used to be where if you pulled from a group of community people, where there's going to be a representation of who you are there, and that was the plan. Now you pull from a community, you might have a whole community that are children of the devil who are going to lie and they're going to follow whatever they're told to do. Some's not going to like this message today. But the question is, if the foundations of law and order collapse, what can the righteous do? Okay, let's jump ahead. I've heard a lot of people say something like this: what you see is what you get. You know, say, sorry, you don't like me. This is the way it is. You know, what you see is what you get. But let me encourage you to not say that, but to say, what God says is what I'm going to get. I'm not going to settle for what I see. Because sometimes I see things and I don't know what I'm seeing. And I'm listening to a report and I don't know if anyone's telling the truth or if some are telling the truth or some are telling the lie. I mean, you could sit, and I've been in court, I've been a juror, I've been in that situation. And you can sit there and things can be manipulated to play games with your thoughts and your understanding. And you could be a righteous person. And if you didn't have godly insight and wisdom, you could easily be deceived. In fact, do you know what Jesus said? He said that He was going to cut the days short. The end time was going to be cut short for the very elect's sake so that they would not be deceived. So there's a great lie, there's a great deception that is in our land, and we must guard ourselves against that, being deceived, and we also must guard ourselves against lying. I'm sure none in the house practice lying that are godly, but I've worked for professing Christian people that said, that's a white lie. It's not going to hurt anybody. And I've had to stand up against my boss in the past, when I was working in the secular construction market and had to say, no, I won't lie for you. Yeah, but you're not lying. You're just doing what I'm asking you to do. I'm paying you to work for me, and I'm asking you to do this. And I said, no, I can't do that. Well, you're not lying. You're simply, no, I'm still lying because that person is coming to me and they expect me to be truthful. When I ask you a question or you ask me a question, you have every right to expect me to tell you the truth. I expect you to tell me the truth. I don't expect you to tell me half a truth. I expect you to tell me the truth. And yet within the church, many would say it doesn't matter. See, it's a new day, Pastor. We don't live like that anymore. It doesn't really matter anymore. Let me tell you, it matters. Because liars who practice lying are not going to be a part of the kingdom of God. And so it matters. No, I'm not mad this morning at anybody but the devil, but I am mad at the devil. The great lie. Okay, in chapter 12 of Psalm, and we're all kind of right here in these Psalms that are close together. In chapter 12 of Psalm, verse 1, this is a great lie that the devil is going to try to use and has used through history. Help, O Lord, for the godly are fast disappearing and the faithful have vanished from the earth. This is a lie of the devil. That the righteous are failing and losing and dying and disappearing. No, we're not. Not until the rapture. When the trumpet sounds, we will be caught out of here. And yes, we will disappear. But we are not disappearing out of the earth. God has always had a remnant. And we are here. And we are going to stand regardless of what takes place in our land. Regardless. So it's a great lie, Satan's great lie, that the righteous are failing and are losing and that they're vanishing and that truth has been lost. It's a lie. It's a lie. That's not true. Godly people still tell the truth. All right, next lie. Chapter 12, let's look at verses 2 through 4. Neighbors lie to each other, speaking with flattering lips and insincere hearts. May the Lord bring their flattery to an end and silence their proud tongues. They say, we will lie to our heart's content. This is the lie that Satan is giving. They say, we will lie to our heart's content. Our lips are our own, and who can stop it? What's the second great lie? We can lie as much as we want to, and nobody can do a thing about it. And now we see this. In our nation, we'll see it with more and more politicians, and we see it in the courthouse, and we see it in every aspect of life. And this is another lie of the enemy, that whoever wants to can lie to your neighbor, you can lie however you want to, and it's not going to matter, and there's never going to be any accountability. But that is a big lie, because all of us are going to stand before God, and all of us are going to give an account of what we did and said in this body. So the lie is our lips are our own. Nobody can stop us.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name. And fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
Road.